Psalm 23.
It's a psalm that we all have quoted many times, one which is treasure to many who desire to show God's adoration and praise to the Heavenly Father. This word, psalm, first of all, I want to say that Sister Nancy and I are very happy to be able with you all at convention this year. This word psalm does not appear in the scriptures except as it is in the subscription of the various chapters and words in which they appear. These were written by the sweet singer of Israel, David. He wrote many of these songs of praise, adoration, meditation toward God. And the 23rd seems to be words of one who not only loves to think upon the Heavenly Father, but also one who might be in need of distress, consolation. And indeed, how often we see these words written on a funeral folder showing the statistics of those who have been bereaved. They're not only words of comfort and solace, of promise and help in every time of need, in every circumstance of life. And this is a heartwarming psalm for one who is going through a special trial or difficulty. These same words were no doubt recalled by the antithetical David, Jesus, who in his final moments, as he hung upon the cross, cried out, my God, why dost thou forsaken me? We know this because he was quoting these words from a previous psalm, Psalms 22. Where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my ring? This word roaring has a sort of groanings. And we should imagine how he must have groaned as he hung upon this cross of crucifixion. And so we read the text, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Since our Lord's baptism at Jordan, and his going into the wilderness for 40 days, to learn the meaning of the many prophecies that were written about him, he had learned to lean on these particular words of David for comfort and for help in his times of need, knowing that his Father was his shepherd. Yes, for 3.5 years he had been preaching the good news of the kingdom, he'd been healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, and he endured a lot of hard experiences from Satan himself. Remember, one of the first things that occurred to our Lord was when he was up in the mount and he had those 3 temptations. Yes, this was only a few hours away after his immersion into death. He was immersed. He began there to lay down his life as a corresponding price for Father Adam. But Now we can think that it was perhaps the time for his last meal with his disciples and to prepare for his deliverance into the hands of his enemies. Think of his experience that night in Gethsemane. As he prayed to the Father, remember he prayed for us, for those whom the Father would give him. And I like those words in John the 17th chapter. Few of them, not read many, but where he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And now I come to thee. Yes, our Lord knew that his hour was soon, when he would be hung on the cross and eventually die for man as our Redeemer. But then he goes on to say, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And how wonderful it is that we have received this word of truth through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and as he was dying, we can recognize his last few thoughts and words as he hung there. And these are recorded for us in this 22nd chapter of Psalms. Not only, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he continued on by saying, all they that see me laugh at me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delight in him. And then he goes on to say in the 11th verse, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Yes, many bulls have come past me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. And then they gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, and they pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare at me. And they part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But then he prays to the Heavenly Father, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword and my darling from the power of the dog. And then in the 25th verse, he says, my praise shall be of thee. In the great congregation I will pay my vows before them that fear him. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And though our Lord was a perfect man, spoke these words being in great pain and suffering, he knew that his Father had not forsaken him. He also knew a promise that said, quoting from Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. These words indicate that his Heavenly Father had not forsaken him. But we would like to think that perhaps a more accurate thought would be that he desired that this experience would not take long, and that he was asking the Father not to linger any longer than was necessary for him to be an acceptable sacrifice. He also remembered another psalm, Psalm 71. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul taketh counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor and seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. Yes, the Lord remembered these words of the 23rd Psalm. And relating them to himself, he said that the Lord was his heavenly Father, was his great shepherd, his overseer. And because of this, he did not want. For he knew that no good thing would he withhold from him, and that his God would supply all his needs. And whatever sympathy our Lord manifested toward his disciples, we may attribute to our Heavenly Father. For he came from the Father. Remember, he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And as God is the chief shepherd, in his great love, he has provided Jesus to become our overseer, our shepherd. And as a faithful under-shepherd, he is untiring in his devotion to his sheep. First, he was the shepherd to the nation of Israel at his first advent. Remember, he came to his own as their shepherd, and he received them not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he the privilege to become the sons of God. But remember, it was on that last night in Gethsemane, when he looked out over the city and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that sittest and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often I have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Yes, Israel had been cut off as a nation. And this was at the due time when this law covenant would come to an end. Remember, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And after Christ came, we're no longer on that schoolmaster. And so it was to the nation of Israel. But they were cut off. And now what happened for the next 3.5 years? Sometimes we think it's an overlapping period. But another covenant began, called the covenant of sacrifice. The covenant, the Sarah covenant. And who did our Lord go to for the next 3.5 years? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those to whom he was their shepherd. And this lost sheep were those that he was calling. Yes, they were all under the Sarah covenant. It was not a new covenant. It was the Sarah covenant. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Were the words of David, the antitypical Jesus. And so it was that from that point on, he told his disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the way of the Samaritans enter ye not, but only to the lost sheep, those of Israel who had faith to believe. And so it is that after the end of that 3.5 years, he was privileged to become our shepherd. And we're here today because of that. Yes, the Lord's sheep then now can say from their hearts, I shall not want. They seek other pastures than that to which our shepherd leads, but we are assured that no good thing will he withhold to those who walk uprightly. And we may be assured that it will not be necessary for us to go to other pastures, to other places where their truth may appear as an angel of light. Yes, Satan does appear as an angel of light, but the truth is the thing for which we must hold fast to. Yes, still there's no other place where truth appears than in the Word of God. And understanding this is through the gift of the Holy Spirit that we can praise God from whom all blessings flow. And with the knowledge of the Lord and His plan for blessing of all the families of the earth, we are made to lie down in green pastures and to be led by the still refreshing waters of truth. And He does restore our soul, and leading us into the paths of righteousness for His own namesake. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Jesus was very active in shepherding the sheep, providing the necessary food and drink. In spite of the many false shepherds of His day, remember there He said that Israel was a sheep having no shepherd. And this was first used by Moses when he spoke of Israel, reading from Numbers, the 27th chapter, in the 15th verse, and 15. And if he that has sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money. I'm in the wrong book. Numbers 27. Exodus is a good book. It's not the one we want. Exodus 27:15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as shepherd which sheep have no shepherd. Yes, he was very active. Joshua was appointed the type of Jesus to lead Israel, who had now become the shepherd of Israel. And though he came to his own as a nation, they didn't recognize him. And remember, Mark tells us that when he saw them, he was moved with compassion because they were a sheep not having a shepherd and needing care and guidance. He began to teach them many things. And as the shepherd, he was not a shepherd of wayward goats, but he was seeking those of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The question may be for us now, are we partaking of the food from the pasture which the Lord has directed? Are we being directed and led beside the waters, His word of truth? Or are we looking for from other shepherds? This is a test that's being placed upon all who are following the Master in these last days. And following Him as our true shepherd, being led in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, may we all be found faithful. When we read of righteousness, the meaning of this word has the thought of rightness, or being right. And what is right according to the plan of our chief shepherd, our Heavenly Father? It's that which for His name's sake will glorify His holy name in harmony with the wonderful plan of the ages. And then the next statement that we read in our psalm is that I'm sure was uppermost in his mind as he hung upon the cross that eventful night. Yea, though the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yes, these words of the 22nd chapter are still ringing in his ears. Be not far from me, he says, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. And as he mentioned these words, he remembered too that they part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Yes, these are part of the experiences that our Lord had on that eventful night. And we can only imagine the pain and the agony our Lord endured. But then he remembered the 23rd and the 24th verses. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. The Heavenly Father heard his words. And as he heard, he knew that his praise shall be of thee in the great congregation, and I will pay my vows before them that reverence him. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted. Often we think for a moment that our Lord was forsaken for a moment, but this was one of the texts of comfort that the Master used, because he knew that the Father did hear when he called out. Another beautiful psalm, one of comfort, was the 27th psalm, first verse. It was one of comfort to the Master as he hung upon the cross, when he said, "The Lord is the salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then remember the words that he gave to us in the 17th chapter of John. "O Father, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." He knew that his hour was drawing nigh. And to walk through this valley of the shadow of death, Jesus saw throughout his ministry. He knew the death that was working in mankind. This, of course, was because of the disobedience of Father Adam. But it was for this cause that he came into the earth, to give his life a corresponding price for Father Adam, and to redeem mankind from this penalty and condemnation of death. And so it will say, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And he could say, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Yes, the Heavenly Father was with him. And he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." For our Lord, this table was filled with the promises and a knowledge that he was approved of God. He was approved as the promised seed that would eventually bless all the families of the earth. And he was approved because he knew that he had been found faithful in the carrying out of his sacrifice, even unto time. Yes, Adam would be restored back to favor because of his sacrifice. And more than this, he was to be forever with the Heavenly Father, glorifying his holy name throughout all eternity. For us, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, experiencing the many shades of death, and I like that thought, it's a diglot, the shades of death. We all have death working in us. We're all going through the same experiences that the world goes through. We all die like men. But this is the lot for those who are following in the footsteps of the Master. And we too walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We just have to look about us today and see that it won't be long before our experiences this side the veil will be completed. And we too may be found worthy, if we are found worthy, to be with Him and reign with Him 1,000 years for the blessing of all the families of the earth. And as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, we also feed upon a table laden with much food. We all know what that food is. Well, there's the milk of the Word. And what is the milk of the Word? Some seem to think that restitution is just the milk of the Word. It is for those who know the plan of God. But it's strong meat for those without. Yes, you might speak of restitution to your neighbor next door, but they don't know what restitution is all about. It's the rest of what? But not... It's strong meat. But there is also the strong meat. There is the strong meat of the doctrines. Doctrines of fall, ransom, restitution. Yes, and what do these mean to us? We realize what the doctrine of the fall is all about. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And also the doctrine of our share in atonement work. Do you share in the atonement work? That atonement work is going on all down through the gospel age. You are mediator. Not mediator, but you are ministers of reconciliation. And as we are ministers of reconciliation, we share with Him in this atonement work. The whole fifth volume, isn't it? The Day of Atonement. Began with our Lord when He laid down at Jordan. And as our offering, He was our sin offering. And as our sin offering, our sins have been atoned for. We have been redeemed. Have you been redeemed? We've all been redeemed. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are His. Yes, we have been redeemed. But the world is waiting for the due time in which they will experience a resurrection and be able to come back up the highway of holiness. But during this time of the gospel age is an atonement work. And brethren, we share in that work. And what a privilege it is, a sharing in the sin offering. We all know the tabernacle story. Bullock being offered for us? Us. The bullock wasn't a ransom, remember. The bullock was only given for us. Adam was a ransom. He was given for Father Adam. Remember what the scripture says when John saw Jesus coming, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That sin of disobedience. Father Adam's disobedience. But as our bullock, He offered Himself as a sin offering for us. That's why we have something to offer. We come under this robe of Christ's righteousness. And having this robe, we're now members of that Lord's goat. And that Lord's goat is offered for who? For the people. As a sin offering. And so when this work is all complete, this work of atonement, the sin offering work is all complete. Sacrifice is done. The high priest comes out, blesses the people, changes his robes, glory and beauty. This is all strong meat. It's part of the doctrines that have been given to us. Yes, we feed upon a table of rich food. Then there's also the dessert. Well, there's lots of dessert. We all like that. Which one would you like to pick? We pick them all. The promises of God. And they're yours and they're mine. These promises that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. We're going to get a crown? What's that word, crown? A crowning life. And what is the crowning life? It's glory, honor, and immortality. What a wonderful promise it is if we are found. And so we have no need to go searching greener pastures, because he says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Yes, our Father, our Lord, knew he had been anointed. He was commissioned as a high priest to do what? Well, remember what we read in Luke, the 4th chapter, how he had been anointed. When he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Are you anointed to preach the gospel? The anointing that ye have received of him abideth in you. Part of that is the preaching of the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. An acceptable year of the Lord. And we have that privilege today, because we also have been anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And this cup from which he drank was both a cup of sorrow and of joy. And in both respects, his cup overflowed. Sorrow to see the present evil world in such a sad condition. And it was also his own personal cup of suffering. But his cup was also one of joy in the realization that soon he would be with his Father. And for us, we will partake of his joys, but we must also partake of his suffering. Remember, he said, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me. If you die with me, you shall also live. And what a joy that will be. And so we are to count the sufferings of this present time as not worthy to be compared with the joy that shall be revealed in us. And with this promise, we're enabled, if the experiences are rightly received, to rejoice in tribulation. And thus our cup will overflow, knowing that we shall be with him and see him as he is. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and being faithful, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only so, but soon the kingdom for which we all pray will be ushered in, and the blessings will begin to flow to all mankind. That we have, truly the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And may the Lord have his blessing.